Okay, good evening, gentlemen. We continue the Rambam Hilchas Avodah Zarah, Perek Hey, Halacha Tes, Chapter 5, Law 9, in the Masnaim Texas, page 98 and 99. We're still talking about false prophets and the like, and how we have to try to get them made guilty. So Halacha Tes concludes this topic and says, Kolamunea Atzma Me'arigas Navi Sheker Mipnei Maloso, anyone who holds himself back from doing what is necessary to get a false prophet killed because he feels the prophet is very esteemed. It looks like he's going in the ways of the prophets. Who are we to go and try to get him in trouble? Over below Sasa, he's transgressed the negative prohibition that says, don't be afraid of him. Don't be afraid of him. Go after him if he's doing things that are not proper. Anybody who holds back from trying to judge him negatively, or he's afraid of his words, in other words, you're taking them seriously, the Lord has told me you're going to be in trouble. Woo! He's included in Lo Sogman, you shouldn't be afraid of him. He's transgressed the negative prohibition. And we judge a false prophet only in front of the Sanhedrin in Yerushalayim of 71.
So what do you do today?
You don't do anything today. Okay.
So you can't kill him.
Today.
Unless he's from the 71.
Can't. That's right.
But you don't help him.
Don't do it. You can't help him. That's for sure. Don't be afraid of him.
But you can't kill him. If he falls into the ocean, should you save him?
No.
No. That's right. Good. Okay. Yud. Now we go on to another aspect of this. What if
a sinking feeling about
Hanoder v'shem avodas kachavim vanishba baloka? What if you're getting an argument with somebody? The guy says, you're lying. He says, I swear it's true. I swear by the God of Zeus that what I'm telling you is true. Or I make a vow by the God of Zeus that I will bring this korban. So if you invoke the name of an idol, even though you're not serving it, you get lashed. How do we know this? Shenemar, the pasuk says, "V'shem Elohim acharim lo saskiu." You should not mention the names of other gods. Echad anishba v'latzmo, v'echad anishba lo v'kham. It doesn't matter if you're swearing for yourself or you're swearing to make a non-Jew happy. In other words, the non-Jew says, "Jew, you stole from me." So now you know that that non-Jew happens to be a Zeus follower. So if you're going to say, well, I promise I didn't take it. I don't believe you. I swear by my God I didn't take it. I don't believe in your God. Okay, I swear by your God I didn't take it. Still no good. In other words, not only if you swear by the foreign God because you it looks like you believe in it, but even if it's just to pacify the non-Jew to swear by his God, that's still not proper, and you still will get lashed.
So we're talking about swearing by the God, or are we saying saying the name? Period.
No, swearing by the God.
So it's mentioning.
No, we'll see. We'll see. We'll talk more, but this is the first halacha. There'll be more in a minute. But clearly, if you swear by that God, even if you don't believe in that God, the non-Jew believes in that God. So the Jew wants him to believe him. Says, I swear to you, I did not take any money from you. I swear by your God, Zeus.
I guess we're struggling with the pasuk itself.
Yeah, the English translation of the pasuk.
I understand, but this clearly would be part of it,
so
wouldn't
today,
it? Wouldn't you be mentioning the
but it sounds like mentioning alone is enough.
So we're going to get to the next lines. Just wait. Now, more than that, for usr lahashbia haovei kochavim biyirasa, and you shouldn't swear to a non-Jew because of the fear you have from him. In other words, if you have a partner who's a non-Jew, and let's say you think the non-Jew is cheating you, and the Jew accuses the non-Jew, you're stealing from me. And the guy says, well, no, I don't. So swear to me. Okay. Swear to me by your God. Okay. I swear by the God of Zeus. I didn't do that. Yeah. So you're not allowed to make the non-Jew swear by his God either. Right?
Huh.
All right. Right, that you can't do that either. One second. Or is that the reverse moment? Did I say it right? Let me just double check. Or did I mix this up? One minute. also for his own reason. I don't want to do that. Yeah, that's right. I did it right. Okay, fine. Okay. Now we come to the point you guys are saying. And even to mention an idol, even not through an oath, that's also not allowed. Shenemarlo Saskir shouldn't mention it. So now we're mentioning what the Pasuk's simplest meaning is. So you don't make an oath by the one, you don't make a non-Jew make an oath by his idol, and you don't even mention the idol at all, and Yudalf will expand on examples of just mentioning the idol.
So there's a lot of people today, just as a matter of speech, say the full name that's abbreviated by JC. Like, say, I can't believe you did that. You know, Jewish people are doing that.
Yep.
And lots. I mean, it's not like a rare person. A lot of people do that. Yeah. Is that
they're not
helpful?
Swearing by his name.
But they're mentioning his name.
They're not swearing.
First of all, Ramesha specifically said you can mention Jesus' name because he is not a god.
Okay. Heard of.
Jesus is not a name.
Don't
they
think he's all tied up to
his
one?
Yeah, the Trinity.
Let them think.
He's not a god.
In their eyes, I think.
Yeah. I mean, there are Jews who call. That's why Jews call him Yashka.
Because you're not. JC or something.
But Rav Moshe, I remember he said if you say Jesus because Jesus was a human being.
Okay.
He was a bad human being.
He's Jewish.
But he was a human being. He was not a god.
Okay.
I mean, Rebbe Dafka showing he wasn't a god.
Okay.
By saying Jesus, he wasn't a god.
So this probably deals with the question I was going to have, but I mean, if it's a Jewish judge who makes a non-Jew swear on the Gentile Bible.
Well, it's...
That's not him, that's...
That's not a god. It's not a god. It's a Bible. It's not by God. He's swearing on a Bible.
And you can affirm. You don't have to do... You can affirm.
No,
he swears on a Bible, so the Bible's the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Not the God.
The Old Testament is still the Old Testament.
Okay.
But
now,
we say that that's, we don't know whether that's monotheism.
But it's not, it's just the Bible. It's not the God.
It's not the
you're
God.
Not swearing by a Yashka. You're not getting a,
even
cross.
Yashka, you're not
I'm saying you're not getting a cross and making him swear on the cross. He's swearing on a Bible.
Or a Buddha idol.
Right, it's a Bible. I don't know how. I don't know. It's. Anyway, now we might mention more examples. Yudalf, this might be more common. Don't tell your friend, okay, wait for me next to the Zeus idol at the corner of Elm and Church Street. Right? The Zeus idol. Because now you're mentioning the Zeus idol. Right? So you should not mention that. So now that already, we try to say, you know, when you're trying to give directions, don't say, okay, now go down Bathurst for 3 miles and you'll see there's an Anglican church right there, and at the Anglican church make a right turn. You shouldn't say that. You'll say
or a Buddhist temple.
Have you mentioned,
a Buddhist temple?
Yeah, but it's, you're mentioning that, so you could just say, you know, there is a Goyish house of idol worship without saying any names.
When I give directions at work, I'll use that one.
Powers has dropped me off to the church and I'll walk home from
the night. So it's better just, you know, drop me off by the Getchkes.
I'm going to call them that way.
Where they pay on Sunday.
You know, by the parking lot.
Not over the big parking lot in the center, the office of the park.
Parking lot, right. So you should try to avoid mentioning those things.
But
now,
you're saying Zeus, so you're saying it's just in the context of learning? Or?
What? I'm just telling you how look. I'm trying to give you any examples of what you're not allowed to say. But I'm not talking about, you know, there's a Zeus right there, and at the corner of that Zeus, you know, we're just trying to, you know, teach you what the law is. You can't use that in course of regular discussion. Now, how about all over the Torah? Torah mentions all kinds of idols.
Sure.
So what do you do? Are you allowed to mention idols in Torah? It's next week's Torah portion. Any idols that are mentioned in the holy writings, Mutar Laskirishmam, you may mention their name in the course of your learning. Keep going, for example, Peor, next week is Baal Peor.
Yeah.
Uval, it's another, Uvail. Uvail, I don't know what that is. Another one, Unavo, the god. Ukiyatsim, any similar ones, you can all mention them. Let's say Baal Tzafon, Dagon, Kamosh. Those all from Sefer Shoftim, if you recall.
But Safon is also from Mitzrayim.
Right. So therefore, you can say them all. Why? Because you're basically learning. You're reading the Torah. So if you're reading the Torah, it has nothing to do with that.
So you could say in the context of,
of Torah. Because you think in the context of learning Torah. We're saying, well, we're going to have a discussion of the Baal Por. Why is the Baal Por also for Jews to do? So we're doing it in the context of Torah, then that's okay. So, now the Rambam says an interesting halacha. Also, ligrom lacherim sheyidru v'shekaimu b'shem v'lez kalim. You shouldn't even indirectly cause that someone should swear or maintain his truth through the use of a non-Jew, through the use of an idol. Now, what does that mean? So it means the following. It means, Rambam doesn't say it, but this is what he means. According to Rambam, one could not be a Jew cannot be a partner with a non-Jew. Why? Because if the Jew and the non-Jew get into an argument, what's the Jew going to do? He's going to make the non-Jew swear. Or the non-Jew will volunteer to swear. And the non-Jew, who is a heathen, will swear, by my God of Zeus, I'm telling you, I didn't steal from you. So now the Jew is, by being a partner, you've indirectly caused. So the Rambam is going further. Not only can you not cause the non-Jew directly to swear by his idol, you can't create a situation that will only cause the non-Jew to swear by his idol. How did that? Because you became his partner. If you wouldn't have become his partner, then he wouldn't have to be swearing for you in any business context. So the Rambam is going that far to say you cannot do that. Now there are those who argue on this Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, I believe, brings opinions that argue on that. And they say, why? Because nowadays, we don't believe that the non-Jew really, when he swears by his, when he swears, the non-Jews say don't really believe in idols. And they're not really swearing by their idols. So he doesn't, many are lenient, but there are those who would be strict. And then there's those also arguing, say they argue on the Rambam's whole premise. Indirect is not necessarily wrong. But there are opinions that do say you should not be partners with a non-Jew if you feel that's going to cause the non-Jew to swear by his avodah zarah. There are opinions like the Rambam who say
with the Rambam suing a non-Jew, you're
going to have a problem. According to the Rambam, you couldn't take these guys to court if they're swearing by their idols.
You just said that they're going to swear on a Bible.
That's okay.
Okay, so I don't know if that's swearing by an idol.
So that would
I don't know if the Bible is an idol. I don't believe the New Testament. I don't know, but you're swearing by it. I don't. Would you say their Bible is an idol?
No.
Even the New Testament?
No.
There's stories.
It's a storybook.
Yeah. It's not an idol. If they'd say, I swear by.
It's not worshipped. It's not worshipped. They don't worship the thing.
So that would probably be all right. Okay, last halacha. Ve'ena loike, you don't get lashed. Ela hanoder bishma v'amakayim bishma v'anish v'bishma. The person who actually vows or swears or maintains by using the idol's name, he gets lashed. People who indirectly cause it, they don't get lashed. If the Jew became a partner, or the Jew asked the non-Jew to swear by his idol, we're not going to give the Jew lashes. Only if a Jew himself swears by a non-Jew does he get lashed. So this is a big machlokas in the Rishonim, because it seems to be a problem. What's the problem with this halacha? How can you lash him? It's a lav she'im ma'isa. There's no action. We said speech is not action. How do you lash him? So there's a whole question. So some say because, and part of the question is, because you know there's only three exceptions to the rule. There's only three cases of non-actions that you lash. And that's somebody who swears falsely in God's name, someone who switches one korban for another, and someone who curses out his friend. Those are only three exceptions that you lash him even though there's no action. If you switch one, if you verbally, verbalize that, instead of this korban, I want that korban.
Okay.
There's only three examples of verbally doing something, you get lashed. So how come the Rambam says you get lashed here? So some suggest that if you get lashed for swearing in God's name, then for sure you should get lashed by swearing in an idol's name. Right. That would be the answer to that. So that's that. Okay.
Just one thing on the idol name. You know, in northern Israel, the waterfall is the Banyas. I read the other day that the root name for that comes from a Greek idol.
It's Pan.
Yeah.
Okay, Pan, but Banyas is not Pan.
It's because the Arabs don't know how to say it.
Arabs can say P.
Yeah. You read the same article?
I know.
And what's the idol's real name?
Pan.
Okay, but it's not Banyas.
Well, I don't know.
Pan.
That's
no, but Banias is not the name of the idol.
No, but the root of the name is...
The root, but it's not the name. When you're saying Banias, it's not Pan. And even the idol worshippers won't recognize it. Because you're saying Banias.
Only because the Arabs can't say the P.
Okay, yeah, so why do you think Hashem made it that way?
I was thinking, yeah.
Okay.
But even expressions like gee whiz and gee and stuff like that.
That's
why I spoke about before.
Comes
from.
Is that where it comes from?
In the class?
But, no, but, hear, just but nobody is associates it with idols.
No, but they say G, like G Wiz. Is that where like the that.
G Wiz came from?
I have no Apparently. Idea. I have no idea.
Yes, it comes from JC. G Wiz.
What?
Wiz part of
I definitely don't think about that when I'm saying that. Okay, we move on now to the sixth chapter, and we get into other forms of idol worship which are not allowed. We're going to learn all about the Ov and Yidonis now. Ha'ose Ov O Yidoni. If a person acts through the practice of Ov and Yidoni, which will be fully explained in this halacha, so be patient. So if you do that, so the simple meaning of Ov is if you're trying to come in contact with the dead, and Yidoni is trying to predict the future by coming in contact with forces. So one is coming in contact with the dead through improper means, and one is trying to tell the future through improper means.
But not horoscopes.
Now, if you do it b'rtzono, willingly, you want to do it, b'zaron, intentionally, then chayev charis, you will cut yourself off from Hashem. V'yisham sh'edim v'asro, if there are witnesses and warning, nisko, you get stoned. Ha'yishogeg, if it was unintentional, you didn't know it was wrong, then maybe chatas, you bring the said korban chatas. Okay. So now, one other thing. It says only the one who does it. What about the guy who goes and asks for his services? That's a separate halacha that will be learned on later on. He's going to get punished also. But right now, we're just talking about the guy who does the actual practice, not the supplier of the service, as opposed to the one who's demanding the service. Okay? We'll see in Halperik Yudal if there's going to talk about the ones who are demanding the service. But now we're talking about the suppliers of the service. And they do the activity. So here is the way. Kate, you might say, what is the Ov practice? Zeshu Omeidu Makter Kedorah Shidua. First he brings an incense offering, as is well known for the Ov practice, whatever that is. V'ochei Sharvit Shaladas. You take a scepter of myrtles, of Hadas, and Biyad on your hand, of Benifo, and you wave it all around, and then v'umenaber balot b'dvorim yiduim esom. Then he whispers specific incantations that only the great Ov practicers know. Acheyishma hashil, until the inquirer, the one who asks for the services, he will hear something. Kilu echad medaber, as if somebody else is speaking to him. U'meshivo amashusha, and will answer his question. Bidvar mitachas arts, from words that appear to be coming from underneath the ground. Bikol namuch ad maod, a very soft voice. Ukeilu enonikar lozen, as if it cannot be discernible to the ear. Ela b'machshava margishbo, but in his mind he thinks about it.
He's like campfire.
So what's going on over here? So the guy who wants the service, A, goes to the Ov practicer, B. B does all the witchy gucci machi things, and then what happens is, this is the classic case when Shaul went to the witch.
Mm-hmm. Shaul went to the witch. We haven't got to that because Shaul has to die first.
And he went to Avner's mother.
Was it Avner's mother?
I believe it was Avner's, if I'm not mistaken.
Was it
Avner Ben-Ner's mother?
Avner Ben-Ner was murdered by
later.
Later.
Anyway.
But he was such a great gadol of there.
Well, doesn't matter. Anyway, but his mother was one of the, so indeed that's what happened. It was Ov. So what did she do? She was able to bring back the voice of Shmuel Hamal. So now, the one who practices the Ov doesn't know what's going on at all. The one who practices it does not know what's going on at all. So according to the Rambam, Rambam is a little bit more, not exactly what Chazal say it. Okay. The way the Medrash brings it is that the person who practices the Ov sees the image of the dead person but doesn't hear them. The one who makes the inquiry doesn't see the person but hears the person. And more than that, when the Ov person practicing sees the person coming upside down.
Ooh.
Now, what's interesting is that when the witch performed this for Shaul, she didn't know it was Shaul was a kink. Because Shaul really, he made it his business to kill all the witches that were in Eretz Yisrael. So he went and killed all the witches except for one. Who is that? Avner's mother. Since Avner was his general, Avner tipped off his mother and says, "Mom, stop practicing and you won't get killed." So that's the one he didn't kill. So before the Battle of Plishtim, where Shaul was all nervous, so Avner says, "Okay, you know, I know of one witch." He says, "How do you know?" "I know. Don't ask me any questions." And he brings to the witch. So now, certainly, he would not have told his mother that he's bringing Shaul HaMelech to the witch. She'd get killed. So he told the mother, "It's Stamagai." So in the middle of the whole practice, what happened was, in the middle, the mother witch says, "You lied to me. You brought Shaul HaMelech." How did she know it was Shaul HaMelech? And Shaul had disguised himself. So how did she know it was Shaul HaMelech? The Medrash answers why. Because when the Shmuel came, she didn't see him upside down. She saw him right side up. Why? Because in honor of a king, they come right side up. Anyway, that's all up in Medrash. Okay. Now, the Rambam is a little bit more, rational in this part. The Rambam seems to imply is all a bunch of baloney. It's all a bunch of baloney. And therefore, when the person thinks they're hearing, they're imagining that they're hearing. But there's really nothing going on at all.
Whoa.
That's the Rambam's position as merit. Not everybody agrees with the Rambam.
Well, how does he reconcile them with Shmuel and Sefer?
Whatever. I'm just saying, that's the way the Rambam learns it over here.
So practically speaking, is this attending a seance? What is this?
It's like a seance. Exactly.
It's exactly like a
doing
seance.
A seance. Now again, the only difference is it's not exactly an Ov seance. And we're very particular as to how you do it. Right? It's to the Ov. It's to the Ov idol. So the seance, I don't believe, know who Ov is. Or another one of these examples. You take the skull of a dead person, and you bring incense offerings, and you say special mumbo jumbos, until it appears that the voice is coming from your armpit. Shofad mode, very low. Umeshiva is responding. All these are my Ovim. This is the Ov practice. If you do that, you're stoned. So a seance, I don't know if it would be included in that, because they don't do anything. They just put their hands together and just will
the
that
candles,
the
guy
be speaking. So I don't know if that's enough to get you stoned. It doesn't seem to be enough. But it's still something you shouldn't be doing.
Ouija board.
Anything, and that's telling the future. Right, this right. One is coming. A seance is coming in contact with the dead, but it's not an idolatrous practice. It's dumb, silly.
Eric Houdini.
You know,
Eric Weiss. Nice Jewish boy.
Okay, but that's that. Now Bays. So let's go to the Yidoni. Kate said, "Masa Yidoni. What's a Yidoni practice? That is trying to tell the future." Meniach etzemo. If you take the specific bone of a bird, and a specific bird, Shishmo Yadua, it's called the Yadua bird. That's where you get the word Yidoni from. It's a Yadua bird. So you take a Yadua bird, Bifivi, you put it in your mouth. Okay, puts it in his mouth. Umakter brings an incense offering. Vosamaisamachem, you do other types of interesting activities. Right, you try to confound yourself and all these things. Until the person can put himself into a trance. The guy who's doing it puts himself into a trance, and guess what happens? And then guess what comes out of his mouth? The future comes out of his mouth. And all these types of are all considered idol worship. And you're not allowed to do it. And it comes with all the punishments that we said. How do you know the warning for this? It says, so then you shouldn't turn to the Ov or the Yidoni. These are all practices that are idolatrous practices. Okay. We got time to do one more. Gimel. Now, the famous one of the Molech. Hanosein Mizar al-Molech. A person brings one of his children to the Molech. Birtsono, willingly, ubazono, intentionally, chayav kares, you get kares. Bishogi, unintentionally, maybe chatas kvu, you bring the specific chatas. Vimasa, the aidim vasra, and if there's witnesses and a warning not to do it, niskali is stone, shenemar, it says, asher yitain mizar al-Molech, mos yumos, amaoritz, yirgumu baritz. Anyone who gives from his children to the Molech, he is surely put to death, and the people of the country stone him.
This is sacrificing your child?
Yes. Well, we'll see. Rambam is not agreeable to that totally. We'll see. Vazhar Shalom, what's the warning? We have the punishment. What's the warning? It's interesting. The Rambam brings two psukim as a warning. Shinemar, one pasuk says, Umazarachalo, Sitan, Lavila, Molech, from your children you shall not pass by the Molech. And another pasuk says, Lahalan, later on, Huomer, La Yimotze Bechom, Aver Benobi Dobesh, you shouldn't have amongst you those who pass their son or daughter through the fire. Why is there two examples? Because each one teaches the other. One is calling it Molech, the other one's telling you what the Molech practice is fire. One pasuk alone wouldn't know what it is. So it's the Molech practice. Specifically, Molech is the name of a certain idolatrous practice, and it's done with fire. So now, we know why you can't do it, but now, what exactly happens? Very interesting. Kesar Yasim, what would they do? Madlik Eshkidol, first they light a big fire. Volkech Miksas Zaro. You take some of your children, not all. You give them over to the priests of the fire. Give them over. Here's my child. I want to take him to the Molech. And those priests, no stima ben love, they give the kid back to the father and they give him instructions what to do. After the father gave the kids to the priest and gets permission from them to take him to the Molech, now they give it back and they give him, tell him how to do it. The avi haben, and it's the father of the child, who shemaver b'no ala eish b'shutah kohanim. The father is the one who brings the child to the fire with the permission of the kohanim. Umavir b'ragav, and the father takes him on his own feet. Mitzad ze litzad acher, from one side of the fire to the other, b'soch hashavos, within the fire. In other words, the father has to carry the child as opposed to walking the child along. Father picks up the child, or let's say puts him on his shoulders, passes through the fire, and the kid is going through the fire. Now look what the Rambam says. The Rambam, not everybody agrees with this. He says, "Lo shu sarfel moch kederach sarfel name of the same avodas akachavim acheres." Not that you burn him like other idolatrous practices are to throw the kids into the fire. Elavar, but you pass him through, you singe him a little bit. In other words, you got a big fire on one side, a big fire on the other. Let's say one of Larry Garber's big fires, you know? You don't have to go into Larry Garber's fire over there. If you just stand next to the fire for about 10 seconds, you're going to get a good singe. And that's the Rambam's opinion, is you're passing him by the Molech. You singe the child and you don't kill him. Because if you throw your kid in the fire, that's a different idolatrous practice that you get killed for anyway.
It's not the moment.
According to the Rambam. Hmm. Ela bavar bavad, you're passing him alone. That was hois avodah zeh shishmol. That is the specific service of this avodah zeh called Molech. Where you pass him by and singe him. Lefikach, therefore, osa avodah zul avodah zeh mecheres. Let's say you do a singeing to another idol of Zeus. For Zeus, I'm going to singe my kid. Well, that's not the way you serve Zeus. And therefore, putter, you would not be chayav for that, because that's not the avodah zarah of Molech. Molech, yes, I'm doing it for the sake of Molech, and I'm passing him by to singe him. But clearly, if you throw your kid in a fire, stamazoi, for any of the other idols, that's a different idolatrous practice, which is prohibited also. Here, we're talking about singeing him. Now, the commentaries ask two good questions, and we'll end with these two questions. Question number one is, why do you have to, from the Rambam it is clear, and well, really it's going to be the next halacha. So, you know what, let's just quickly do the next halacha, because just as, well, you know what, let's just stop. You know, it's too much, it's going to take too long. But the question, we will see, if you bring all your kids to the Molech, then you're not chayv at all.
Yeah,
and that's going to be a question, why? That we'll learn next time we meet, which will be,
Monday night?
Sunday night.
Oh,
okay. Well, I'll be back. I'll be back Sunday morning.
Okay.
So we will learn Sunday night.
Sure.
Why not? Sure. I have to daven tomorrow.
I'm going to be here anyway.
For the weekend. Okay. Well, is anybody else going to be here on Sunday?
I'm going to be here. I'll be here.
You want enough people here?
I'll be here.
I'm here.
You're away? It's January 1st week,
no,
July.
July. Following week, I mean, start.
Okay. All right, six guys. It's worth it.
Maybe more.
People listening online. You can listen from the cottage. Monday morning. It'll be up.
No,
you have no internet. Oh, you can phone.
Yeah, isn't that great?
How about your phone?
Okay.
You should have
sit down on your phone. Well, what? I mean, why
makes you want to come back?
I thought we had a general rule.